Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 11, St. Anicetus.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuntio vobis.
Annuntio vobis.
Annuntio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
How's it going, everyone? Our story picks up around 154 AD when St. Pius I died, and the next pope to be chosen was named St. Anicetus. So Anicetus seems to be either Greek or Syrian in origin. His name is clearly Greek, though Greek was kind of the lingua franca of the time period, especially in the East. So that doesn't mean he wasn't originally from Greece himself. It means that he was probably from someplace in the East that also spoke Greek. The Liber Pontificalis states that he was born in Emesa in western Syria, which is today the city of Homs, which you may have heard of from the news. It's an important city in Syria still today. So his pontificate, with all the controversy regarding, you know, the Gnostics we've talked about and the Marcionites, during Anicetus' pontificate, there was a new dispute which arose in the church, and it's one that we're going to hear more about in the following Easters. And it was a dispute over the following question: when do we celebrate Easter? Now, I think for many of us, the question still kind of baffles us today. It has this random moving date, and we can never really get it down. We know it has something to do with the spring. It falls on Sunday. We also probably recognize that Catholics and Protestants celebrate Easter on a different day than many Orthodox. So today, the Catholic answer is that Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. So now you can calculate it for yourself. But that's not always been the case. At this point in the early church, a discrepancy had arisen as to when to celebrate Easter. In Rome, the tradition was to keep the celebration of Easter on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, which is how we got our tradition. And that was the first day of the week, and that was the day in which Jesus rose from the dead, and it was celebrated as kind of this new Passover for Christians. But in the East, especially in the churches founded by the Apostle St. John, the tradition was to celebrate Easter on the anniversary, on the actual date, which in the Jewish calendar was the 14th day of the month of Nisan. And it was regardless of the day of the week. Kind of like we celebrate Christmas always on the 25th of December. It was the same with them. They always celebrate on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. And this whole disagreement is going to be called the Quartodeciman controversy, which translated literally means the 14th controversy. Not that you really need to know this, but it's a nice big word that you can impress your friends with. Oh, yes, I was listening to a podcast about the Quartodeciman controversy. Now, this dispute, along with other factors, which we will discuss in a minute, occasioned a visit to Rome by one of the giants of the early church, St. Polycarp. We haven't mentioned Polycarp explicitly yet in this podcast, but we've talked a lot about his friends. Polycarp was born around 69 AD and was an early disciple of St. John, who ordained him the Bishop of Smyrna, which is in modern-day Turkey. And St. Irenaeus tells us that Polycarp was taught by the apostles and lived in familiar intercourse with many that had seen Christ. Irenaeus was himself a disciple of Polycarp, and in a letter to a priest named Florinus, asserts how he can describe the very place in which the blessed Polycarp used to sit when he discoursed, his personal appearance, and how he would describe his intercourse with John and with the rest who had seen the Lord, and how he would relate their words. Polycarp received a letter from St. Ignatius of Antioch, which we still can read, and he wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus, and Irenaeus and Eusebius tell us that early in Anicetus' pontificate, St. Polycarp, who by this point was in his 80s, he made the journey to Rome and consulted with St. Anicetus, and in this meeting they agreed to disagree, allowing each church to celebrate Easter according to their own traditions. So Polycarp pointing back to St. John and Anicetus pointing back to Saints Peter and Paul. Irenaeus tells us they disagreed a little about other things. They immediately made peace with one another, not caring to quarrel over this matter. Anicetus invited Polycarp then to celebrate the Eucharist, which is a great sign of respect and honor, at a time when usually the bishop of a particular church was always the main celebrant of the Eucharist. So inviting someone else to do it was just like a big, big deal. Now, if you happen to have this theological heavyweight hanging around who knew St. John personally, you can't just keep him off to the side and just talk about the date of Easter, especially when there are heretics all over Rome like Valentinus and Marcion. So while Polycarp was in Rome, he did some serious preaching. They put him to work, Irenaeus tells us, and it's possible that he was there and saw it, that Polycarp, who coming to Rome in the time of Anicetus, caused many to turn away from the aforesaid heretics to the Church of God, proclaiming that he had received this one and sole truth from the apostles, that, namely, which is handed down by the Church. Irenaeus also relates to us another story about Polycarp's trip to Rome, and this one's great. At one point, he ran into Marcion personally, like on the street or something like that, and Marcion asks him if Polycarp knew who he was. Do you know who I am? And Polycarp responded, I do know you, the firstborn of Satan. And so while we don't hear that much about Anicetus, he did bring in the heavy hitters to help deal with the Gnostics. Just to tie up a loose end, Polycarp returned to Smyrna, and very shortly thereafter was martyred by being burned alive. And we have a relatively eyewitness account of his martyrdom, and it's really beautiful and moving. So if you get the chance to read it, go ahead. It's really awesome. St. Anicetus died around 166 and was buried near the tomb of St. Peter on the Vatican. He was then succeeded by St. Soter, and we'll talk about him next week on Habemus Papam. Thank you for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com or find us on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can check out everything else that we've been doing so far. Thank you, and God bless.